Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 27 of the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. My name is Ryan. I am your host on this podcast. I bring you music reviews from a music lover. Today, we are going to be reviewing new releases from The Sword, Preoccupations, Hyde, and also Jack White. All of these releases... I should say all of these albums were released on March 23rd. And before I get into today's reviews, I'd like to do a couple of things. I'd like to give you another quote, like I did on the last episode. I've been going through some sites online that have famous quotes regarding music, and there's a lot of interesting ones on there. So this episode's quote is from the legendary Maya Angelou. And the quote is, "Music was my refuge. I could crawl into the space between the notes and curl my back to loneliness." End of quote. Do with that what you will. Today, I actually would like to, since we're about a quarter of the way through 2018, I figured I would break down what my favorite releases are for the first quarter of this year. This list is in no particular order, except that the number one record is, you know, my favorite record of the year so far. So. Might as well just go right through it then. So at number 10, it is the Israeli metal band Orphaned Land with their album Unsung Prophets and Dead Messiahs. That's a really good album. That's my opinion of it hasn't changed much since I first heard it. I was pretty wowed by it, and I continue to be wowed by it. The next record in the top 10 is the record Dead Magic from Sweden's Anna von Hauswolf. This is a record that took me a while to sort of penetrate, even though I knew that I liked it right from the onset. But it's a record that definitely takes a few listens to wrap your head around. And the more I listen to it, the more I sort of absorb it and begin to appreciate it more. So definitely check that out if you haven't. The next one is the album No Cross, No Crown from North Carolina's, you know, metal/hard rock legends Corrosion of Conformity. This is a record that I was initially impressed by, but, you know, wouldn't say that I loved, and it's definitely grown on me a lot. As much as I had wished for a little bit more evolution on the part of the band, I think that this album is a very solid effort. I'm excited to see what they do in the future. And the next record on the list is the record In Celebration of Us from the Brooklyn, New York rapper Skyzoo. This is a great hip-hop record from an MC with, you know, a very, very interesting flow, very intelligent lyrics, and also some very interesting and inspired, you know, jazzy sort of hip-hop production going on in the background. So if you haven't heard that record, check it out. Next on the list is the record Transangelic Exodus from Chicago's Ezra Furman. This is a sort of, you know, a great left of center sort of oddball record that seems, you know, like it's kind of just a straight up alternative record, but you know, goes down a lot of different avenues, and Ezra Furman is definitely a unique character in the music landscape, so definitely check that album out. Next record on the list is the record Tearing at the Seams from the Denver-based Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. This is a great record, just full of, you know, vintage rock and roll and soul and, you know, old school sounding rhythm and blues. And, you know, it sounds like a record that could have come straight out of the 70s, and I love it. I loved it the second I heard it, and I still love it. So, next record on the list is the record All At Once from the New Jersey band Screaming Females. Here's a record that, you know, impressed me very much at the onset, the first time I listened to it, and my opinion of it hasn't changed. You know, seven albums in, Screaming Females only seem to get better and better and more focused with each release. So, the next album on the list is the record Shadow People from France's folk duo The Limignanas. This is a really sort of cool, you know, folkish, but also sort of a record with touches of post-punk and you know, some interesting guest artists on it. And, you know, definitely intrigued me from the start, and my opinion of it hasn't changed much. So number two on the list is the record American Scrap from the Chicago post-metal band Huntsman. This was one that I had anticipated for quite a while, and it did not disappoint me. Huntsman definitely sort of evolved, you know, between the course of their last release and this record into a sort of storytelling, folk slash Americana slash post-metal just behemoth. So that's a record that you should definitely check out if you haven't. And the last record, and my favorite record still of 2018 so far, is the record Twin Fantasy from Seattle's Car Seat Headrest. Will Toledo, who is the brainchild of Car Seat Headrest, just created an incredible record here. And what's great about Twin Fantasy is that, you know, it existed in a sort of polished demo form, if you will, back in 2011, before, you know, Will Toledo had really, you know, flown onto the radar at all as far as, you know, indie rock. And but he, you know, he decided to, now that he has a sort of band, you know, that he tours with, he decided to go for the full studio treatment on this record, you know. And it's a little bit different, obviously, than the original version. And but it's really a monster of a record, and just very it's very deep, very rich, a lot of layers to it, both lyrically and musically. So definitely a record that, you know, anybody should check out. It doesn't really matter what genres of music you're into and which, you know, which genres you're not into. It's worth a listen, no matter what you like and what you don't like. So that's my number one record for 2018 so far. It'll be interesting to see if anything can top that. All right, so now that we've gone through my top 10 favorite records for the first quarter of 2018, I'll give you a couple of albums that you should check out if you feel inclined that I'm not going to review. I'll just mention. The first one is a record called Staying at Tamara's by George Ezra. That's definitely a cool record. Go check that out. There's another record called Hormone Lemonade from the group Cavern of Antimatter. That's a very interesting record from a very interesting group, so you should check that out. And also there is a new record from the band Bless the Fall. It's called Hard Feelings. Go check that out too. And let's get into today's reviews. Okay, so the first review is for the new record from the, you know, sort of stoner doom hard rock band The Sword, and the record is called Used Future. So Austin, Texas's The Sword return with Used Future, which is their sixth studio album and the follow-up to 2015's record High Country. Here's a sample of the album's second single, which is called Twilight Sunrise. So, it's no real shock to hear The Sword now fully, you know, inhabiting their less crunchy, you know, stoner slash doom rock personality. You know, since it really first poked its head out on the band's third album, which was called Warp Riders, you know, way back in 2010, and seemed to really come to fruition on the band's last album of original material, High Country. You know, opinions concerning this shift in the band's sound have been, you know, polarized to say the least. And many times, you know, as in the case of the Jack White album that I'll be talking about later in this episode, this sort of division, you know, of opinion is a sign that an album is truly special. You know, one that some fans, but not all fans or even critics, you know, recognize the merits of immediately. But unfortunately, in the case of Used Future, I don't get that feeling. You know, when the band went full bore with their sort of altered sound on High Country, you know, I began to get very skeptical. While High Country didn't wow me, you know, I felt that it was pretty solid of an album, and that perhaps, you know, the band's experimentation would, you know, really pay off on subsequent releases. But Used Future doesn't feel like a payoff. You know, I actually find the title of this record ironic in that Used Future feels sort of like the product of a secondhand version of a once great band. You know, if I had listened to The Sword's 2006 debut full-length record, Age of Winters, and then I fell asleep for 12 years and woke up to be presented with this new record, Used Future, you know, there would be little aside from, you know, vocals and, you know, the sort of undercurrent of Black Sabbath influence on the sound to really help me sort of connect the dots between the two versions of the band. This is one of those odd times when I almost wish that a band had just taken things in a completely unexpected direction. I mean, shit, even if they took a road less traveled and they made a bad album, at least they, you know, attempted to branch out. But Used Future feels very safe. And ultimately, it's that safety that holds the album back. Now, having said all this, there are tracks on this record that I enjoy. You know, the single Twilight Sunrise, you know, which you heard a sample of earlier. For all its sort of genre tropes, it's a pretty simple yet effective exercise in swaggering, bluesy, hard rock. And it's rounded out with, you know, just enough synth touches to keep it interesting. The instrumental track, The Wild Sky, with its distorted bass and its strong emphasis on these thunderous drums, and an interplay between fuzzy and crunchy guitars, is reminiscent of the band's, you know, Gods of the Earth days. Especially, it reminds me of the closing track from that particular album, which was called The White Sea, which is one of my favorite Sword tracks ever. And speaking of instrumentals, the track Nocturne off of Used Future is definitely one of their most interesting instrumental pieces to date. You know, placing as much emphasis on keys as on the guitar work on the song. It's the type of haunting composition that, you know, gives me some hope for the band's future. And I couldn't say it for sure, but it seems like guitarist Kyle Schutz's endeavor covering Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon album last year under the moniker Doom Side of the Moon influenced a track on Used Future called Come and Gone, which is one of the more fully realized tracks, I think, on this record. And, you know, it has some David Bowie-esque effect-laden vocals from J.D. Cronies and some pretty elegant acoustic guitar work too. But for all the promise shown in these tracks, you know, there's just clunkers and snoozers around every corner on this record. The lead-off single, which is called Deadly Nightshade, sounds like something that the band left off of Warp Riders. While the track Sea of Green, you know, tries but ultimately fails to sound like the best moments from High Country. And the penultimate track, which is called Brown Mountain, never seems to really go anywhere, and it really wastes the band's last opportunity to pack a punch on the record. J.D. Cronese's, you know, limited vocal range is really becoming more and more noticeable as the music on these records gets, you know, less interesting.
So I gave the record Used Future a rating of 6 out of 10.
Okay, so moving on to the next record I'd like to review today. It is the record Castration Anxiety from the duo known as Hyde, H-I-D-E, Hyde. Okay, so Chicago's DIY post-industrial duo Hyde, which consists of Seth Scher on electronics and Heather Gable on vocals, have released their first full-length record, Castration Anxiety, and it's definitely an experience. Gable has stated in interviews that the record is intended, both, you know, sonically and lyrically, as a sort of turning of the tables on predators, you know, those who wish to sexually assault and abuse others. Here's a sample from the third track on the album, which is called Close Your Eyes. You know, this sort of motivation and statement, you know, has some precedence. You know, Otep Shemaiah did something similar to this in the late 90s and the early years of the new millennium. And a more recent example would be an artist by the name of Kristen Hayter, who releases music under the name of Lingua Ignota. So Hyde's musical approach to this revenge fantasy as album falls somewhere on the electronic slash industrial spectrum, keeping a firm foundation in sample based production, you know, with a minimalist approach to melody. It reminds me very much of Trent Reznor's early work as Nine Inch Nails, especially on this track called Bound slash Severed, which to me is reminiscent of Pretty Hate Machine, and a track called Fucked, I Found Heaven, which is very reminiscent of Broken. Now, the element of drone on this record, both in the production and as part of Heather Gable's vocals, seems to take some influence from industrial giant Skinny Puppy, you know, and the record's sort of motivation to disturb rather than entertain aesthetic certainly pays homage to pioneers of this sort of thing, like Skinny Puppy and also post-punk legends Killing Joke. So Gable uses a careful approach in regard to her vocals on Castration Anxiety, allowing the tension in the music to build organically like a great suspense story or movie. Her voice implements drone really as well as Cher's production does, and the odd, you know, haunting quality of her voice often reminds me of Burton Bell from Fear Factory. It would be interesting to hear more modulation in her voice, but her approach on this record, given the subject matter, is effective. Now, on tracks like Close Your Eyes, which you heard a sample of earlier, and another track called Wear Your Skin, Gable sings of, you know, seeing her attacker's dying face and cutting him open in order to wear his skin. There's these really eerie harmonies placed in the sonic landscape amidst, you know, all these mechanical sound effects and this insect-like scuttling. And there's also some deceptively tender moments that sort of lure a listener in so that Gable and Cher can just, you know, assault him or her again. Now, at about 40 minutes long, you know, Hyde spent just enough time on this, you know, sort of harsh, cathartic concept, which would run the risk of losing my attention were it much longer. On the last track, called All Fours, it's a very just harrowing track. There's this abrasive white noise that, you know, causes me some agitation, you know, and discomfort as the song advances. But when it gets right down to it, that's exactly the point, you know. You know, Hyde are not here to make me or you or anybody else comfortable. So predators beware. All right, so I gave the record Castration Anxiety a rating of 7 out of 10. All right, so moving along, the next record that I'd like to review today is the record New Material from the Canadian band Preoccupations. Okay, so on the opening track of New Material, a track which is called Espionage, Preoccupations bassist slash vocalist Matt Flagel sings, "Change is everything." And that sentiment is an appropriate mission statement for his band, you know, who since their inception as Viet Cong have, you know, have been evolving and refining their particularly dark brand of post-punk. Here's a sample of the song Espionage. Okay, so on the band's last album, which was the self-titled record written and recorded just after the band left behind the often controversial moniker of Viet Cong, Preoccupations, you know, they sort of seemed to lose their focus. And the resulting album was a pretty spotty affair, with a couple of songs that sort of really, you know, didn't go anywhere. And this one 11-minute track that kind of had little to hold it together. And the rest of the tunes on that album exhibited various levels of enthusiasm on the part of the band. And the whole thing left me in a sort of limbo. But fortunately, the band has taken several steps forward on this new record. For the most part, a healthy balance of focused songwriting and a restless need to experiment with sound keeps this album on a very straight but interesting path. The band still have a strong undercurrent of Joy Division running through their sound, both in the bright synths of Espionage and also this track called Disarray. But their songwriting and technical chops, you know, keep the songs from sounding like an imitation. So Flagel and, guitarist slash synth man Scott Monroe put a lot of emphasis on manipulating sound on this record, pushing it to the point where, you know, your average listener may mistake a synthesizer for a guitar or vice versa. It gives the whole affair a sort of dreamlike quality, especially on tracks like Manipulation and also this track called Doubt. Monroe lays this really jagged, complex guitar lead over a relatively simple rhythm on this track called Solace. But for the most part, you know, the band avoid any sort of flash, you know, or heroics. You know, every sound on the record works in service to the songs, to the material. So Flagel is at his best as a lyricist on new material, using his talent for alliteration and metaphor to really heighten the tension of tracks like the almost danceable second single, which is called Antidote, and the aforementioned Espionage, which contains this brilliant lyric: "Unquestionable quality, it's an unconditional guarantee, supplying of the billion-dollar funeral industry," end quote. Flagel just, he continues to impress me as a lyricist. But the only real qualm that I have with this album is the placement of the instrumental track called Compliance at the end of the record. I very much like the track itself. You know, it reminds me both of Joy Division and also some of Trent Reznor's work. But, you know, since this record is only about 37 minutes long, this track feels more like an interlude than, you know, a closing track, and I'm ultimately left wanting more. I think placing it somewhere near the middle of the record could have worked better. You know, I often feel as if this band's records are over way too soon, but I'm glad that they aim for a concise product instead of filling out their records with mediocre or half-formed tracks. You know, aside from that one issue, I find this record to be a pretty compelling and mostly satisfying one, despite its brevity. The record has an apt title. Preoccupations seem, you know, more and more with each release to become their own material, built of parts from our world and our reality, but as a whole sounding more and more alien as time goes on. So I'm pretty interested in what the next stage of development holds for them. So I gave the record New Material a rating of 7.5 out of 10. All right, so moving on to the last review for today and my personal pick for this episode. It is the new record Boarding House Reach from none other than Jack White. So, former White Stripes guitarist and vocalist, and one of modern music's most iconic and interesting figures, Jack White returns with his third solo album, Boarding House Reach. It's been 4 years since his last solo outing, which was an album called Lazaretto. And if this album is any indication, White really has no intention of swimming any closer to the mainstream. The first time I listened to Boarding House Reach, my mind conjured up this odd and sort of hilarious image of Jack White as, you know, a robot or a cyborg who, you know, was designed to play bluesy rock all these years. And while he's had glitches here and there, you know, this record marks the beginning of, you know, sort of his true breakdown. You know, the circuitry is catching fire and the computer mind is spinning uncontrollably. And the resulting collection of songs is captivating and it's bewildering and it's ultimately pretty fantastic. So the album starts out with the single Connected by Love, which aside from the pulsing synths that open the track, you know, like an alarm and reoccur throughout, you know, sounds like it could have come from one of the early White Stripes records like Distill or White Blood Cells. It's a great opening track and a great indication of where White is taking a listener on this record, you know, both to the past and far into the future. Here's a sample of this track. Okay, so after Connected by Love, the following track, which is called Why Walk a Dog, goes deep into electro soul territory, you know, with a drum machine loop and synths juxtaposed with what sounds like a, you know, an upright bass and perhaps some acoustic guitar. And White's voice is the only truly human sounding instrument on this track. And then things get somewhat more organic sounding on the next track, which is another one of the album singles called Corporation, you know, where samples of electronic hand claps and some MIDI-esque video game noise share space with bongos and, you know, White's always lively splashes of electric guitar. When White shouts, "I'm thinking about starting a corporation, who's with me?" amidst all of this, it feels like White is sort of playing with the danger of losing his humanity to, you know, the lure of profit. And when his voice distorts into a modulating siren-like wail on this track, it's pretty unsettling to me. Then the record takes a brief detour on the interlude-like track, Abulia and Acrasia, which features a spoken word piece from Australian blues artist C.W. Stone King. And then White, you know, immediately dives back into the progressive oddness that this record has already established on the next track, which is called, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly, Hypermisophoniac, which is defined as a person who is exceedingly triggered by certain sounds to have negative thoughts, feel negative emotions, and affect a negative mood or attitude. For this track, White used the sounds of some of his son's toys to create this sort of swirling, broken pinball machine musical backdrop in which he places a piano-based tune that could have come from his first solo album, 2012's Blunderbuss. And the next track, which is called Ice Station Zebra, which takes its name from a 1963 Cold War era spy novel by a guy named Alastair MacLean, brings the first half of the record to a stunningly bizarre conclusion, with White, you know, rapping about copying no one and living in a vacuum. You know, the bouncy musical backdrop in the song's second half, to me, sounds like 70s funk just taken to outer space by White's vocals. And on the next track, which is called Over and Over and Over, the program seems to reset itself to a degree, and, you know, the fuzzy riff playing Jack White that we all know just comes ripping out of the gate. The inherent oddness of the record is still present, though, with some ghostly backup vocals and a scratchy, effects-laden guitar solo. The next track, which is called Everything You've Ever Learned, finds White sounding like both an infomercial voiceover on its first part and then like a street preacher on its latter section. The album's next track and third single, which is called Respect, Commander, strikes an interesting balance between the rock that White is known for and some flashes of almost 80s era new wave, with some more 8-bit Nintendo flourishes and a guitar solo that to me is very reminiscent of the White Stripes classic track Ball and Biscuit. Now another short interlude follows, which is called Esmeralda Steals the Show, you know, which has the musical air of a nursery rhyme, but it's an air that White cuts through with a criticism of the technology addicted masses. And he then launches into the album's arguably most spaced out track, which is called Get in the Mineshaft. You know, robotic voices, including one that sounds like it's coming through a talk box, give the track a feeling of, you know, surrender to the technological marvels of the 21st century that White was just sort of railing against on the last track, along with plenty more movie sound effect synths. And it's sort of the last hurrah, you know, for this outer space version of White. The record's second to last track, which is called What's Done Is Done, leaves most of the science fiction musical aesthetic behind, except for some processed drums and some watery synths. The Jack White dedicated to rock and roll in its primitive form and tender balladry emerges once again, and this extends through the closing track, the simple acoustic guitar and piano-driven track Humoresque, you know, which comes across as sort of the soundtrack for the end of a long masquerade ball. Now, that's an appropriate metaphor, given the layers and masks that White wears throughout this odd and revealing album. You know, of course, Jack White is not the robot of my sort of fantasy analogy from earlier in this review, but perhaps he feels to a degree like one, and Boarding House Reach is sort of oral documentation of him going rogue, if you will. I would say keep it up, Mr. White, because this is one listener who deeply appreciates it. Boarding House Reach may seem difficult to penetrate at first, you know, and it can be abrasive at times, but everything within the record's 45 minutes serves to help Jack White cast off shackles that, you know, many, including himself, placed on his art. So I gave the record Boarding House Reach a rating of 8.5 out of 10. All right, so that wraps up the reviews for today. Make sure you guys, anyone out there who's listening to the podcast but hasn't joined our Radio Live Transmission Facebook group, go on Facebook, search Radio Live Transmission just as it appears in the title of the podcast. Find us, join the group, and start posting, because we have a lot of fun on there. And I welcome, you know, anybody from anywhere with any sort of musical taste. Whatever you have to bring to the table, I want to see, and I want to see it, and I want to hear it. So please join the Facebook group. Don't be shy. And also, I hope that you guys will catch up with me next time for episode 28, on which I will be reviewing new releases from Ben Harper and Charlie Musselwhite, MF Doom and Czarface, Light the Torch, and also Kate Nash. All right, so that wraps up today's episode of Radio Live Transmission. I am your host, Ryan. Thank you guys for listening, and you guys have a good day. Signing off.